Jesus makes it right, all right.
Good morning, and we're delighted to see those of you who have come. I want you to know that my name is Joseph H. Brown, and not Eugene Lawton. Peace on as well. Did we have a time, or did we have a time? Oh, what a time, what a time. Hearing the word of God. And he has watched over us and brought us to this place again today, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth and hear a word from his holy book called the Bible. I trust that you've come with listening ears. I want to call your attention to the book of St. John. There's a book in the New Testament called John. Matthew, Luke, what did I skip? Oh, you realize that? Very good. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's it. Just trying to help out everyone that, or anyone that may need help. Chapter 16. John chapter 16. My brother made it back home safely. And he called back to said before and said after he back returned back home that he had a glorious, glorious time here with this congregation preaching the Word of God. We did too, didn't we?
Yes,
hearing him preach the Word of God. Oh, what a time. The book of John, chapter 16. Let's pick it up right around verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show unto you. All things that the Father show unto you, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that you shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. But he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. He calls these times little whiles. Little whiles. But from my perspective, it's a long time. And we don't yet know how long it will be before he comes back. But he has shared with us, he is coming back. I have two subjects. I'll give you one. How did Jesus make it back to heaven? How did Jesus make it back to heaven? And how do we make it to heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we cannot be serious. We cannot not be serious when it comes to eternal destiny. Because there are some things that we know absolutely positively for sure. And one of them is that I'm a human being. Another one of them is that Jesus came into the world with a message. At the age of 30, because that was the rules and regulations during the time that he lived, could not become a teacher until you were 30. Jesus came, sent by his Father, to do a will. And at the age of 30, he began to be a wandering preacher. He chose 12 men to teach, to train, as they followed him. He remained on planet Earth for 30 years. Teaching, preaching, training. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it is serious, serious for each and every human being to study the Word of God, to know who you are, to know why you're here, and to know also whose you must be. If you want to live in such a way that you will enjoy eternity. God brought human beings into existence to live forever. To live forever. Since we understand that properly, knowing that we're going to live forever, you say, well, what I die? Well, what about when I die? Well, now go back and look at how you were created, how you came about. When we go back and look at our beginning, Adam, then Eve. As you've heard me hear me say today, and as you've read in Genesis chapter 1, God brought into existence heaven and earth that we see. On day number 6 of his work, he said, let us make man. Let us, Matthew, Mark. No. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. Well, how are you going to make it? I'm going to give him my image. Let us make man in our image. So we are created, we are made in God's image. That's chapter 1. And you've heard this before, those of you who've been here before. In chapter 2, our Bible is very, very clear. In chapter 2 of the first book of the Bible, during the creative week, on his last day of creating, he formed man. From what? He formed man from the dust of the ground. When did ground and dust come into existence? During the creative week. Are we on the same page? I believe it's about verse 26 of chapter 1. If it's not, read all of chapter 1. The earth came into existence. What are you saying? I'm saying that the earth did not always exist. It was a part of the creation creative week. So God formed what you see. What I'm looking at is our form, your form. What you're looking at is my form. Watch it now, be careful. Form came after he had done all the other work. He didn't have man to come into existence until he had created the universe. And then he created man. He formed him from the ground. You say, well, preacher, I've heard you say that time and time again. Good, I'm glad you say you heard it. And you remember it. But now, where did he bother to tell us that our life came from. You say, I've heard you say that before. Good, I'm glad you wasn't asleep. Life, human life, came from God's life. The apostle, his son's life. Existence, forever existence. Make your calling and election sure. Because when you die on planet Earth, that's not the end of you. Pardon the colloquialism, but it ain't over. There's going to be a resurrection day coming. Because human beings created by God to continue to live. We disobeyed him. He brought us into existence in human bodies. Disobeyed him. You know the story. We don't know how long, in human terminology, God allowed this to exist. There came a time in human history when God sent his only begotten Son into the world on a mission. He didn't just come to see. He didn't need to. He's God. He knows what's going on. He can see everywhere, all the time. But man sinned against him. And God did not want to destroy him. He loved us. He loved us. He sent his son to give us a way, to provide for us a way to live happily, joyously, ever, forever and ever and ever. Never. Did you get that? Forever, forever, forever. Never, never, never to die again. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a loving God? He sent us his son to be a sacrifice for us. That alone is enough from the human perspective for every human being to want to know what the will of God is for my life and to endeavor to live it as long as they're on planet Earth. Because he's promising me, and every human being that will be faithful diligently to him, that I'm going to bring you one day to live with me in glory land. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more sickness, no more dying. Now, since we want to live forever down here in all of this, wisdom says, obey the Lord, because it's better over yonder, beyond human expectation. That's what God has waiting for. I think God's Son in John, in the book of, in chapter 14, he shared with us some information, a little bit, about that place where he had come from. You want to go. You want to go because you can't move. Let me say this. How do I say this? Because if you're with the Lord, you don't want to move in eternity. But there's another place for you to go if you have not been faithful and diligently living in such a way that he was well pleased. You first go around. That's down here. But there is a place that he has for us to live with him forever. And if you don't mind taking a moment in your Bible, It's a book. It's a chapter in the book of Revelation. Chapter 20. Just a few minutes. And I'm going to be just a few minutes more and I'll be down. In Revelation chapter 20. An angel is being shown around the glories of eternity. For the sake of time, start with verse 12. But you might want to read other verses at your leisure. And I saw, as I was being shown around, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the what? And the books. That has an S on it. And the books were opened. Then he says, and another what? Book. Singular. Was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. According to what? Did you go to church on earth? Were you a servant of mine? Did you obey the gospel? Were you faithful? It's going to be in the book. God keeps a record on every human being. And our book, yours, mine, will be open. And the judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to what? You came to the gospel meeting last week every night. It's in your book. You decided that you didn't want to come every night, so you just said you stay and watch television. It's in your book. It's in the book. You see, because God keeps these books, we can't tamper with them, adjust them. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their what? Not according to what your neighbor did, but according to what you did, what I did. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. You see it on the board. You see it in your Bible. What do you want? You want to hear the Father say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How did Jesus make it back to heaven? How did Jesus make it back to heaven? John chapter 16, verse 28, I came from the Father and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to my Father. Question is, how do we make it to heaven? That's the glorious thing. Isn't it wonderful that God bothers to tell us? We have a race to run. We have a God to please. If you're interested in going where Jesus went, note carefully the answer from one who had made the round trip. In the book of Hebrews, turn in your Bible, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? I'm almost there. Hebrews 11. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete or perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and do what? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And when you read some of the, about three of the upper chapter verses, you see that that's the judgment day. The day of judgment. What's going to be in your book? Think about it. The writer of Hebrews gives us the definition of faith and examples of those who manifested faith. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God and His Son Jesus Christ is the title deed of good things to come. We have a volume of individuals in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews who live their life based upon God's commandments. That's all we need to do. Just follow the Lord. They followed God even under dire circumstances and even unto death. They obeyed God. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch was translated, did not see death. Noah prepared an ark. Abraham offered up Isaac. Oh, church, what was Jesus' mission on earth? Did he know? Do you know why he came? The answer to the question is why Jesus came. Did he know? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. In John chapter 6, the verse is 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Watch this now. So it is with everyone who obeys the gospel. We obey the gospel not to do our own will, but the will of the one who sent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he, what? Hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Did I give you a subject for the lesson? Okay. I have two, but I think I gave you the one that says, how did Jesus make it back to heaven? And this is the will, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, are you there? We're talking about how you can get there. May have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You interested in everlasting life or in everlasting death? Now, death means separation when we're talking about eternity. Separated from God. Do you know why? Do you know why you obeyed the gospel? I asked earlier, how did Jesus make it back to heaven? You obeyed the Father. Do you know why you obeyed the gospel? John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Isn't that wonderful? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that what? That judgeth him. He hath one that judgeth him. I have spoken. The same shall judge him at the last day. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but what I said it because of what my Father gave me. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment, listen now, I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. What are you looking for? Life everlasting. My Father gave me the word, and I have brought it down to earth. Verse 15. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, that's what I'm saying unto you. And if you don't believe it, check it out. Check the book out. So speak. Follow Jesus' example. Determine a decision that you make. I'm going to do my Father's will regardless. Whatever it takes. Verse 49, again. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. He loved his Father. We love the Father. Let us do what he has commanded us to do, that we might make heaven our eternal home of abode. After we leave the time side of love. Be mindful of the fact we are under the watch of God always. We are always being watched. You're here this morning, God knows you're here. Always we are being watched. When you leave, driving your vehicle, God is watching. Police might not see you speeding, but God is watching. We are being watched. The heroes of the past, as mentioned earlier, stand by, watching anxiously also. I think that's somewhere over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Is that in your Bible? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, hello, let us do what? Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every sin. And every sin and every weight. And remember that God is watching. And according to this, some of our forerunners are watching. Let us run with patience the race. Let us run with endurance. Let us run without hesitation, without quitting, without giving up. The race, the life that God intends for us to live here on planet Earth. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience whatever God sees, determines that we go through with. This event calls to mind the image of an Olympic runner. The stadium is filled with onlookers. Our stadium is filled with past generations of the righteous. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing, again the text, We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us do what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, get us off track, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that God has designed that we run. Our forerunners of chapter 11, no matter what they went through, they refused to quit. They refused to quit. Let us allow them to be examples for us. There remains one other example, and that's the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, he needed some motivation, some encouragement, so he called on his Father 3 times in prayer. But he remained focused on his mission. He remained focused on his goal. And he let not the challenge deter him. And as we wrap up here, Jesus went on to the cross. Not for him, not for his Father. He went on to the cross for you and for me. Why not diligently obey one who's willing to do that much for me? He was willing to come down from where I'm trying to get. From heaven. And not just to run around and look around. 33 years he stayed here. Persecuted. Mistreated. And finally hanged on a cross. By what he did not do. How did Jesus make it back? We must follow his example. He stayed focused on his Father's will. Hello? Let us stay focused on the Father's will. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us do what? Run with patience. But patience sets out the word endurance. Let us run with patience. Let us run with endurance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, for the joy that's set before us, endured the cross for him, the problems, the difficulties on earth set before us. Let us remain faithful, committed, and dedicated. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and as a result, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heaven is waiting for us, regardless of the challenge, regardless of the difficulties. Remember 2 things. Who you are, and number 2 is whose you are. Jesus remembered who he was
and who he was. And our brothers and sisters, in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, we have a litany of brothers and sisters who refuse to quit, refuse to disobey. And God rewarded them. How will we make it? By staying focused on our Father's will. Staying focused on our Father's will. Not on who mistreats you, not who don't do the other things. I don't see other things. No. Remain on the Father's will. Your Bible says, and my Bible says too, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, not guess, for as much as you know that your what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In closing, Jesus endured his cross. He's our example. He endured the cross, despised the shame, won the victory, and now, as a result, he sits down at the right hand of his Father in glory land. I have spoken the same small bit this morning. Jesus obeyed his Father's will for his life. Let us not argue with God. Let us follow Jesus' example. He was innocent, but he was mistreated. But he remained faithful to his Heavenly Father. Let us resolve no matter what comes our way, I have obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has added me to his family. I am his son or daughter on planet Earth. Stay the course. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment. This is Jesus talking. What I should say and what I should speak. That same Father, that same God is our Father. He has given us command, given us what we should speak and what we should do. Jesus followed the Father's command. Look where he is. With all that he suffered down here, when he left here, he went to be with the Father forever. When you leave, can no longer live on planet Earth. Where are you going? Based upon the life that you've lived, where are you going? Where are you going to wind up? There's only two destinations in eternity. And I think you know what they are. The heroes of the past, as mentioned earlier, stand by watching anxiously to see how God's people are going to act. That's in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily get us off track or beset us. And let us do what? Not sit down. Not just sitting and complain. Let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Don't quit. Quitting is not an option. This image calls to mind the image of an Olympic contest. Let us develop a mindset like our forerunners. I'm going to please God and go to live with Him in heaven forever, whatever it takes. Which means there's no price on earth that's too high for me to pay to miss out on Glory Land. I'll pay. I'll endure by God's marvelous grace. Whatever it takes. Won't always be easy. Wasn't always be easy for his only begotten son. I know it won't always be easy for me. Won't always be easy for Sister Brown either. Because you have to put up with different things. Look out now. But Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 1, it shares with us. There's a bunch of distinguished witnesses watching us. These witnesses have already made it safely home. What can we do since they're watching us? But lay aside every weight. Lay aside all hindrances, excuses that so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with endurance, run with perseverance, with the mindset, whatever comes. Why did you stop? Because I started to use it to say I ain't. But I'm not going to quit. Don't quit. Quit and do what? Quit and go where? You don't want to go where you would go if you quit. He was encouraged when he talked to his father. He did his father's will. But you remember, as he was coming to what he knew was the close, he was meeting with his 11 apostles because Judas had already gone. They came down from the place that they were sitting. And they walked across a small bridge into a park-like area where he was accustomed to going. He went there. He wanted some help. He wanted some encouragement. He walked across the little bridge, short. His apostles were following him. He had some to wait here. Then he took three more a little bit further into to that park to pray. And he went a stone's throw from these three and prayed. Talked to his father. So diligently and so earnestly
that as he was praying, perspiration dropped from his brow like drops of blood. He was praying so earnestly to his Father. He prayed, I believe, it was three times. He stopped and went back to check on these three fellows. And then after his third prayer, he got up and said, let's go. Knowing that he was going to be crucified. They're going to find him guilty. And they did. He was beaten. And back in those days, the cross beam that they hang you on, you carry that to the place where they're going to mount and where they're going to put you. They're going to nail you to the cross. When he came out of the court carrying that crossbow, he fell beneath the weight of it. Another picked it up and marched with Jesus to the place of crucifixion, knowing where he's going. And at that place, he's laid on the crossbeam, arms stretched out, feet one on top of the other, nails going through your hand, nail through your feet. And then the crossbeam has already been nailed to the beam that goes down into the hole to hold up the crossbeam that lifted up. And then when you lift it up and that beam is falling into there, when it stops, it gives a jerk on those who are hanging on the cross. Nails in the hand and in the feet. And it's a terrible pain that rips through the body when that happens. And then they begin to mock him. You saved others, but yourself you cannot save. Sad. All of this he's doing for us. Not only is he doing it for us, he came from heaven to do it for us. He was already where we are endeavoring, if you have good sense, trying to get. And he didn't quit. Church, he's our brother. He's our Savior. He's our role model. What are you saying, preacher? We cannot quit. Regardless of the challenge. Whatever it takes, Jesus was willing to pay the price. He's our big brother. He's our Savior. He has shown us by what he did, you can do it too. I'm human. I became human just like you. We can do it and make heaven our eternal home of abode. We'll be so glad that you did. We'll be so glad that we did. Because you see, when you read Revelation 20, all of it, it tells you about that other place. That's forever too. Also. So we make our decision. Forever peace and joy with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Or forever with the devil and pain and fiery flame. Forever. You trying to scare us? No, I'm just trying to inform you and prayerfully to encourage you to give your life to Christ. If you haven't already done it. And if you have done it, make sure that you're not too busy for heaven. Because you can't just obey the gospel and then live your life like you want to live it. You have become the adopted child of God to do His will. Your role is to live a life that glorifies God. If you're here, you're already in the body, you know that you haven't served well, renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here in this audience, you may never hear it again if you don't come to this place. There's only one way to become an adopted child of God. One way. I know there's a church here and a church there. Jesus in heaven, and heaven did never endorse it. God says plain, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, 1-1-1. The Church of Christ was established in the city of Jerusalem at 9 o'clock in the morning, and Peter was the first preacher in the Church of Christ. That's in your Bible. That's in your Bible. In Acts chapter. Well, read all of it. I started to give you the chapter, but you need to. You will enjoy reading the whole book, whole chapter, maybe the whole book. You make your decision. You want to live in heaven with the Father forever, or go and live with the devil in the flaming fire in hell forever. That's your choice. I want to encourage you to make a choice that pleases God. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away?
Calling.
Calling today, calling today.
Jesus is tenderly calling.
Thus is thought.
Calling today.
He is tenderly calling today.
Before we sing the next verse, where are you today? Where are you today? We may never see each other again, but I want you to know that in this Bible, I read of only one church that Jesus established through the preaching of the apostles after he went back to glory, beginning in Acts chapter 2. One church, not two church, three church. He established one church. I only read about the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. But you see, Satan is not in love with Jesus. So he encourages people to start all kind of churches. Your church, my church. The St. Bellows Church, whatever. Read the Bible for yourself. Because when you get to eternity and you haven't obeyed God's will, saying, I'm sorry, I didn't know, that won't work. Won't work. Make your calling and election sure. And be faithful. Be faithful. You decide, well, I'm going to come to morning church. I won't come back the next day. What's more important to you? rest or God. You make the decision. Church, don't be in the body of Christ and then get lost. Lose your soul. All because of laziness. Be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Well, as much as you know, don't have to guess, that your labor, your work is not, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to sing one more verse. You may be seated after that.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today.
Yes, yes, he loves you.
Bring him
come on home.
Word, and then thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you
away. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Call
you may be seated.
In today, call in today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Call in today. Call in today.